Ernie, when did you first realize music was what you really wanted to do?
I pretty much have been doing music my whole life, but deciding that I wanted to do music as a career started when I was just getting out of high school. I went to a program that Berklee College of Music does in L.A., and that was the first time I'd really been around other musicians and, you know, serious musicians, and I knew right away that this is what I wanted to do forever. It was great.
Tell me a little bit about Berklee College and your experiences there.
My experience at Berklee, I went for 2 years. I first went to a school here in Fullerton, and then I transferred over. Berklee was great, mostly for the just meeting other musicians. You know, when you grow up making music, you kind of feel like an outcast a little bit. And meeting other people that are just obsessive about music in the way that you are is such an awesome thing to realize that you're not alone and that there are other people in the world that are just as passionate about music as you are. So going to Berklee was really cool because I got to meet a lot of musicians and just be completely immersed in my obsession for music. And I got to learn the technical aspects of it. And it was really just an awesome experience being in Boston. So a great time in my life.
From that total obsession with music, what happened for you next professionally?
Well, after I graduated from Berklee, I didn't know what I wanted to do. I didn't know exactly how I wanted to do it. I knew I wanted to make music, but wasn't really sure sort of how to get started. And I ended up moving back to California, and I had a friend that played coffee shops, and he even had like an agent that would book him at coffee shops, which is kind of, you know, I thought was really cool. So he hooked me up with his coffee shop agent, and I started playing gigs for the first time. I was, you know, making $20 or whatever and trying to yell over some coffee grinder as I'm pouring my heart out in song. But I did every coffee shop that there probably was in Southern California, every Starbucks that there was, it was just when Starbucks was getting started in California. So I did that. I just grinded it out, and I did that for years.
And after that, after the Starbucks and yelling over the coffee grinders, how did you go from there to writing your own music and performing as you do now?
Well, I mean, I kind of did some writing at Berklee, and I liked writing a lot, but it was so frustrating for me, and honestly, it still is, but it's very rewarding to have your own songs. But I started writing more when I realized that I was only going to be able to do so many gigs as a cover singer, singing in coffee shops. And as fun as it was, you know, it got a little bit tiresome playing, you know, in really noisy rooms. And one thing that I did do was I was building up a mailing list, and I was pretty successful at doing that for the years that I was playing. So when it did come time for me to start performing at clubs and start performing my own music, I had built a decent following of people that had seen me play in coffee shops or restaurants somewhere. And so, yeah, I started writing songs, and I was fortunate that MySpace came out right around the time that I was starting to do my own music, and I converted this mailing list that I had built up into, you know, fans on MySpace just by writing my mailing list and saying, hey, my website's now going to be on MySpace. If you want to find out what I'm doing, you've got to friend me on this new website. And that was really a start of my relationship with online media, and it's still continuing to take very good care of me, and my fans have taken very good care of me. And it really, a lot of it started with MySpace, and then it turned into, you know, YouTube and Twitter, and that's kind of how it started.
I'm curious why you said that about songwriting was frustrating for you.
Songwriting is frustrating. It's something that we need to do as artists and as writers. We need to create music, and we love doing it. But it's not always easy to do, at least not for me. And most writers I talk to, well, I like to think it's hard for everyone. Maybe it's not hard for everyone, but creating is difficult, and you don't always have the inspiration to do it, but sometimes you do, and it's great, and then you write a song in 10 minutes, or sometimes it takes you, you know, weeks of trying to write something, and just it's not really happening, and so that's frustrating. It's frustrating when you have an expectation of what you want to do, and you can either hit that expectation or you can't, but most of the time you can't, which is what makes it so awesome when you can, and you write a song, and you perform it, and people tell you how it's impacted their life, and all that becomes worth it. But when you try to write a song and you can't, it's extremely frustrating. So you never really know if you're going to just have the muse on your side or not. I mean, you just have to keep pushing through and keep doing it and keep learning.
What works the best for you for breaking through that writer's block and getting the muse on your side?
I'm constantly trying to figure that out. But lately, what's been working for me is I write on deadlines a lot. And even if they're self-imposed, that tends to help me because throughout my life, you know, if I had a paper in high school or something, I was the guy that was up all night the night before writing it. So if someone says, you know, they're putting out a record and they need me to submit a song to them for the record, and I think it could be a really good opportunity, or I myself need to make a record and I know that the time has come and I set a trip to go somewhere like to Nashville and to write, then I put a deadline on myself, like I need to have this many songs by this date so that I can put out this record by this date and everything's planned. That tends to help me a lot because otherwise I'll tend to just be like, ah, I'll write it later. I'll write it when I feel like it. And sometimes you don't always feel like it's easy, so you just have to push yourself to write. And some of the songs I'm really most proud of came in moments where I was writing because I needed to finish something, and I did, and I was really proud with the result. But that has tended to help me, is writing on deadlines. And I tend to co-write a lot as well. That helps. And I also tend to write lyrics first, which seems to help because lyrics, for me, feel the least intuitive. Music is a lot more intuitive for me. So when I write lyrics first, or I'm writing with someone who's giving me a lyric, I tend to write faster, and it tends to get me through the writer's block a little bit faster.
Let's look at some of the songs you've written, and I'd love to have you tell me the story of creating those, like Yes I Am, for example.
Yeah. I wrote that for my last record, Franklin in Vermont. And I wanted something that was going to fit a certain tempo on the record that I didn't have. So I was like, well, I need some upbeat songs. And I don't know, I just sat down and normally I write either lyrics or music for, you know, one before the other. But Yes I Am, I just sat down at the piano and started banging out the tune and singing at the same time. And I wanted a song that was for the underdog, you know, something that was kind of like a call and response tune where, back in the day, you know, someone would say a line and then the audience would respond. Or in old spirituals, there would be a call and response where a singer would sing a line and then people would sing something back. So I kind of wanted something that had a feel to it like that. And so that's where Yes I Am came from.
I'm gonna cross that river, Jordan. Yes, I am.